One of the favorite Christian comedians, as far as I'm concerned, is a man that they call the Swan, Dennis Swanberg. How many of you have ever heard Dennis? Raise your hand. Yes, yes. We've had the privilege of having him here. I think my favorite story that he tells is a story that he tells. I'm certain, like a lot of his, they are embellished, but they are so good. And he tells when he was a little boy sitting in the back of the church, and there's a preacher preaching. The preacher who is preaching has that kind of voice that W.A. Criswell had, that kind of voice that some pastors in days gone by adopted, and maybe some of it's still there. And he remembers this little boy back at the back, not paying a lot of attention. The preacher gets up to preach, and he asks that rhetorical question, Dennis is not certain that it's rhetorical, and so he says, What should we do with sin? And Dennis said, I looked around and nobody was answering. You know, they didn't know, he didn't know, only God knew. And he said, I felt kind of sorry for the guy, you know. And he said, like in the tradition of that time, the next time he kind of cried it, what should we do with sin? Nobody answered. Nobody said a word. By this time, he said, my little heart was just breaking for him. I just knew if he asked it again, I'm going to answer him. I'm going to answer him in my best Don Knotts voice. I'm going to answer him. And then my mom and daddy won't know who did it, but I just can't let this man do it. So he asked one more time. Sure enough, he kind of whispered it. What should we do with sin? And then I said, I stood up in the back and I said, nip it in the bud. So here's the question. Here's the question that every one of us have to ask, because every one of us deal with sin. And we dress up on Sunday morning and we look pretty good, but the truth is we battle sin. And the question is, what should we do with sin? And we don't have to wonder, because we do have an answer. Now, the problem is, so does the world. The world has an answer. So does Satan. Even our own flesh has an answer. But friend, God's answer works. Be encouraged. God's answer works. Have your Bible? I promise you're going to need it. Keep it open. And turn with me to the 32nd Psalm. Psalm 32. I love this song of David, and he was a man who understood this question must be answered. What should we do with sin? Ready? Psalm 32, verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. And I acknowledge my sin to you, verse 5, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. And may God add a blessing to the reading of his word. I want you to notice something with me, that the life that David describes in the first two verses and the last verse of this psalm is the life you want. It is. I don't know all of you, but I know this. It's the life you want, because he begins with beatitudes. He begins with blessings. You can translate that to say, how joyous, how happy. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, because I guarantee you some of you wouldn't. You just don't do that. But listen, I still want to ask the question, how many of you want to be joyous? How many of you want to be happy? How many of you want it to be said that you are a person who is blessed by Almighty God? And then he begins to spell it out. Blessed is the one whose transgression, that is, whose rebellion, that is, whose revolt against God is forgiven. And the meaning there is carried away your sins, carried away like that old scapegoat. They put their hands on the head of that old scapegoat and sent him out into the wilderness, and the sins were carried away. Blessed is the one whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. That means doesn't charge with guilt and sin. Blessed is the man in whose spirit there is no guile. These are gifts. These are gifts from God. And yes, they make us glad. And surely every man, woman, boy, and girl in this room would say, I want that. I want that kind of life. And then look at the end of the psalm. You still have your Bible open, don't you? Look at the end. I want to start in the middle of verse 10. He who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Verse 11. Listen to this. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Oh, my friend, I want so badly for all of us to learn how to rejoice. To learn how to rejoice. We can be pretty glum saints sometimes. We can look like we've not been preserved, we've been pickled. We can just have that kind of look on our face. This very word that's used here for the word rejoice literally means to spin around. And if you want a picture of that, I can take you back about a week ago in our home. We were there. Our granddaughter Molly was with us. We're delighted with our grandchildren. And she was there. She came back into my study. I had a desk chair there. And it's one of those desk chairs that will spin around. You know what I'm talking about? She said, Papa, will you give me a ride? I said, yes, I will. Put her up in that chair. And I began to spin her and spin her. And she's laughing and laughing. That's rejoicing, my friends. That's rejoicing. That's what David's talking about. And surely everyone here would say, that's the life I want, preacher. I want that kind of life of gladness. I want that kind of life of joy. How do I get it? What should we do with sin? See, sin is the joy robber. The world doesn't present it that way. The devil doesn't present it that way. The world and the devil and the flesh present it as the way to happiness. But you know what? It doesn't work. That's not how it happens in our life. That sin robs us of joy. And yet it's a significant issue in our lives. And how we deal with it is incredibly important, because guilt and shame are real. What should we do with sin? Now, in this psalm, there's two answers. In this psalm, there's two answers. You get to choose. But I don't think there's a third. There's two answers. One of them is Satan's solution. The other, God's remedy. I'm going to share them with you. The text is clear. You can see them yourself. But I'm going to share them with you. You've got Satan's solution, but you got God's remedy. Let's start with Satan's solution. Satan's solution. And if you look back in the Bible, I want you to see what will happen if you take this solution. Here's what he said. When I kept silent. You understand that, don't you? When I kept silent, I didn't address the issue of sin. I didn't deal with it in any form or fashion. I just kept silent. When I kept silent, my bones grew old. My dad used to have a saying. He would say, "Oh, my weary bones. Weary bones." That's what David's talking about. "When I kept silent, my bones grew old. Listen through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me." Heavy, heavy, heavy. "My vitality was turned into the drought of summer." Let me give you Satan's solution. If you're a note taker, you can write it down. Not because I want you to do it. I want you to check to see if you've already done it or are doing it. And I want to absolutely ask you not to, because it doesn't work. Here it is. You ready? Satan's solution for sin. Satan's answer to the question, what should we do with sin? Here's Satan's solution for sin. Here it is. Conceal and carry. Conceal and carry. That's his solution. Hide it from everybody you know. What you did last night on the computer, conceal and carry, buddy. What you did last week, what you thought, what you said, how you behaved, the addiction that's a part of your life, whatever it may be, here is Satan's answer. Conceal it and carry it. But my friend, it's heavy. It's heavy. Now, I'll tell you what I think. I think there are a lot of ways we try to conceal our sins. We try to do that in a variety of ways. One of the ways, of course, is we simply deny that it's sin. We just claim that what we're doing is no longer wrong. It may have been wrong in 1940, but it is no longer wrong in this enlightened day. Can I tell you? Sin is still sin. I don't say that because I want to wound anybody. I say that because conceal and carry doesn't work. And if you look at your sin and deny it, you are destined to carry it. We sometimes compare ourselves with other sinful people. "Well, I know I'm not as good as I ought to be, but at least I'm not like that guy. That's brother better than you, you know. I'm not like him. I'm not like sister sitting sour. I'm not like her, you know. I'm a lot better than she is." You know, the problem with that is this. There is one standard, and that standard is Jesus Christ. He is the one to whom we compare ourselves, and when we do, we fall short. We conceal our sins. Listen, we try to reform and just try harder. I'll not do it the next time. I can handle this by myself. And so spiritually we grab ourselves by the bootstraps and try to pull ourselves up. Doesn't work. Conceal and carry doesn't work. And I will tell you, in many of our churches, would you listen to me carefully? We conceal it by becoming rule keepers. I do this, 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 this. I don't do this, 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 this. And I externally look good, so I can keep on concealing and keep on carrying. Now listen to me and listen carefully. The problem with that is it will not ever lead to blessing and joy. It won't work. You want the kind of life described in the first two verses and the last verse of Psalm 32? Listen, conceal and carry doesn't work. I was a 9-year-old boy in the New Haven General Baptist Church when the conviction of the Holy Spirit came on my life. The convicting work of the Holy Spirit revealing to me my sin and the righteousness of Jesus Christ and the judgment to come. I'm 9 years old and I feel it as heaviness on my life. I feel it as fear, because I know that there is hell ahead for those who reject Jesus. And I'm 9 years old and all that weight is upon me. And it's heavy. It's heavy. It's so heavy that my instinct was to conceal it and to carry it. And it would come to the end of the service, and true story, I'd go back to the back pew in that little church and I'd lay down, 9, 10-year-old boy, pretend to be asleep. Because that was a church where they'd come and get you. You know what I'm talking about, anybody? They'd come back there to talk to you. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I knew I was lost and I was concealing and I was trying to carry it. And for two and a half years, I tried to carry that. And I will tell you, concealing and carrying doesn't work. Yes, sir. Satan's solution doesn't work. But thank God that's not the only solution that's in Psalm 32. And I love this. Your Bible open. Look back at it. Verse 5. Oh, thank God for simplicity. Here it is. I acknowledged my sin to you. And my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Here it is. Be encouraged, my friends. And you forgave the iniquity of our sins. You see, I'll never forget the day. It was a hot day. It was 1961. I'll tell you folks a little secret. My memory is not always perfect. So some of the time I share my testimony and I got saved in 1962 and sometimes in 1961. But I checked yesterday. I got my baptismal certificate. 1961, I was a 12-year-old boy heading for 13. And I was in the White River Association of General Baptist youth camp outside of Forsyth, Missouri, sitting back with about six other boys. And Sister Almeda Britton was the evangelist. And I still hear her voice in my mind. I still hear her voice as she thundered the gospel. And when the time came, I went to an altar and I got down and I prayed. And I don't remember a word she said, and I don't remember a thing I said, but I do remember this, that when I got up from the altar, the guilt was gone and I felt light as air. Hallelujah. God still delivers boys and girls and men and women from sin. Good news, be encouraged. You can be forgiven. What is God's remedy? It's God's remedy. David spelled it out here. I want to say it this way. God's remedy for sin. Remember Satan's? Conceal and carry. Conceal and carry. Here is God's remedy. Reveal and repent. Reveal and repent. Stop hiding. Repent. And folks, that's more than just saying I sin. That is seeing your sin as God sees it. It means agreeing with Him about your sin. And it results in a changed life. It's right here in Psalm 32, verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Don't be like the horse or like the Missouri mule. I kind of threw that one in. Huh? You understand? But it did say mule. Don't be like that. No, listen, Jesus Christ will take you as you are and He'll forgive your sin, but He will not leave you there. His goal for you is for you to be like Him. You're predestined to be conformed to the image of God's Son. Romans 8, 29. God's remedy. God's remedy is reveal and repent. Now, the question is this plan just for David? Is this plan just for Hosea? Well, your Bible open. Verse 6. For this cause, what's the next word? In my translation, everyone. Whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Whosoever will, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen to what he said. This cause everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Good news, God may be found today. Today God may be found. Isaiah 55 verse 6, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and He will have mercy on him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Amen. Listen, my friend. God's way works. He says it for everyone. It most certainly is. It's not just for people who lived in the day of David. John said it like this, 1 John 1, 9. Some of you know it. Say it out loud with me. When I start, you come in with me. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Be encouraged, friends. God's way works. The stain of sin can be gone. The guilt of sin can be gone. Consequences may have to be dealt with, but forgiveness is right now available to every child of God. There is a forgiveness that is available for every person, and it comes only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Only because he died on the cross could God be both just and the justifier. So if you've never given your life to Jesus, you can be forgiven. God's way works. Reveal your sin, repent of it. It works. But listen, it works for Christians too. It works for us too. When we have become soiled and stained in this world, we can be clean again. Let me end with some sweet words out of this text. I want you to see them in your Bible. Verse 7. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me. Catch hold of that. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. And then look again in verse 10, middle of the verse. He who trusts in the Lord, what? Mercy shall surround him. Mercy. Wouldn't you like to be surrounded by the steadfast love of God? Well, can I tell you something? Conceal and carry doesn't work. I'll tell you what works. Reveal and repent. And then you can come near the end of your life and you can say something like this. You can say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Look over your right shoulder, goodness. Look over your left shoulder, mercy. Yes, yes. Always been there, always been surrounding you. Mercy, mercy. Would you bow with me for prayer? Heavenly Father, your way works. I am delighted to offer your way to the people in this room. I'm delighted to offer your way to those who will listen by radio. I'm delighted to offer your way because your way works. No more hiding. No more carrying that load of sin. It's too heavy. It's too heavy. I lay it down and I leave it. I reveal it. I acknowledge it. I repent of that sin. I confess it. And I pray, dear Lord, forgive me. And in accordance with your word, I lay hold of the promise that I can be clean today. Good news. In Jesus' name.